Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia.
To begin our Go and Teach program today, let me re-invite you to a very special week of gospel messages that the Monte Vista Church of Christ will present beginning on November 1st. Brother D. Bowman from Pasadena, Texas, will come and share with us his insights into God's Word. We will assemble together, Lord willing, Sunday, November 1st at 2 o'clock, and then that will be followed each evening, Monday through Friday, at an assembly at 7 o'clock. Everyone who is interested in God's Word is invited to come and assemble with us as we sit at the feet of Brother Bowman to learn more about what God would have us to do, what God would have us to be as followers of His Son. I hope that you can come. Today's program begins with a scripture reading found in Genesis, the 19th chapter. I hope that you have your Bible available with you and that you will turn with me to Genesis, the 19th chapter, verse 1. There the Bible reads, "Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, 'Hear now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet, and then you may rise early and go on your way.' And they said, 'No, but we will spend the night in the open square.' But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast, and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, and they said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally.' So Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him. And he said, 'Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, that you may do with them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof.' And they said, 'Stand back.' Then they said, 'This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them.' So they pressed hard against the man Lot, and they came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And then they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door." I think that it does not take one of great wisdom and knowledge to see a similarity with that situation that occurred in 1897 B.C. with the situation that we find growing in the United States of America. How we see in our country a sinfulness that is more and more openly manifest without even a tinge of conscience. Within the last couple of weeks, I heard an announcement made by the San Francisco Giants of Major League Baseball that they had employed a transvestite to come before the beginning of the game and sing the national anthem. I think that's sick. A country whose money supply says, "In God we trust," whose courts behind the judges say, "In God we trust," whose very beginning based upon morality, whose very success has been because of a relationship with God, would so openly disdain the very basic rules of God with regard to relationships and people. It indeed is a major problem in our nation. The arrogance of worldly people toward God's word, the arrogance of worldly people toward those who try to walk circumspectly in the sight of God, has come to high and new levels. In the verses that we read in Genesis 19, I think we see three extremes. We see a degradation on the part of the men of Sodom. Secondly, we see a holiness represented in the angels. And thirdly, we see a resistance in that man named Lot as he sought to deter the evil men. To properly understand and to apply this lesson, we must first learn about the players. First of all, is Lot. You'll remember that Lot was a kinsman of Abraham, and they stood and they viewed their herds and saw that there were too many of the herds to be fed well from the grazing lands that lie before them. And Abram gave to Lot a choice. He gave him first choice, in fact, even though he should have had first choice himself. He gave him first choice in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis in verse 12. And Lot chose to move toward the city of Sodom. He saw that area as being fertile and very rich, and it was a good choice for Lot when looked at from a physical perspective. But first of all, the player Lot, we should understand, chose to move toward the city of Sodom. The next of our characters or principles of the story are the angels. They were sent to warn of destruction and recommend fleeing from the terrible conditions of that city. The third in our story are the men of Sodom, men today that we would identify as homosexuals. Some would call them gay. I don't use that word to identify homosexuals because that word has a good meaning in its very base definition, a definition that has been taken by a group of ungodly men and made to be a sad situation, a negative situation, a sinful situation in our society. So these men of Sodom in Genesis 19 are homosexuals, and they paint a vivid picture of depravity. We should note that homosexuality was not their only sin. For that comment, I draw your attention to Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, beginning in verse 49. There the Bible says, "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw fit." So homosexuality wasn't the only problem that was found with the men of Sodom, men whose acts have been identified by the name of their city now throughout time, acts that now are seeking to be legitimate within our country and viewed as okay options by many of the so-called enlightened of our leaders. Finally, in the players of our story, we see Lot's daughters. They're pictured in this text as being virtuous, but later we find out in verse 12 through 38 that they also were decadent. Now that the cast has been set before us, has been introduced, let's examine, if we can, the text found in Genesis 19, verses 1 through 11, and see if we can learn anything that will help us today. First of all, in verses 1 through 3, we see Lot at the city gates. To see the kind of man Lot was in his heart, I want you to note, if you would, the words of Peter as he writes in the second book of Peter, chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. There we read, "And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds." That gives us insight, doesn't it, into the heart of Lot. I wonder if it could have been that Lot stationed himself at the gates of the city to warn strangers of the danger that lies ahead. It may have been his way to offer hospitality, which in itself is a righteous trait. I would tell you that this much we know for sure. He met the angels in a very respectful manner, and he showed what the Bible identifies as godly hospitality. Indeed, this instance brings to our mind Hebrews the 13th chapter and verse 2. There we read, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." We can learn from Lot, can't we, about hospitality? We can learn a lesson from Lot concerning the respect for others, even strangers. Well, the second point of our lesson today, found in verses 4 and 5 of Genesis 19, the evil desires of the Sodomites. It was like wild dogs that they traveled in a pack seeking pleasure. You know, that's a trait of perversion, and those who are perverted, to seek some new thrill, and hence new partners for their lustful kinds of lives. Men of homosexuality are a threat, regardless of those who are proponents thereof and what they tell us. They are a threat. They do not keep to themselves. In Isaiah 3 and verse 9, the Bible says concerning this type of person, they do not hide it. In Philippians 3 and verse 19, we read that their glory is in their shame. Our society is not the first to talk about coming out of the closet for this type of individual. Another point that's made in verses 4 and 5 of Genesis 19 is that the Sodomite society was so perverted that even the older people were involved. I think it's sad to contrast those older men with what they could have been. Solomon said in Proverbs 16 and verse 31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." Certainly the hoary head of the days of Sodom was not found in the way of righteousness. There is glories of God in aged righteousness. But the opposite is also true. An older person who is decadent is even more disgusting than the younger. Then, in chapter 19 of Genesis, verse 6 through 8, we see Lot's effort to deter the Sodomites. Can you imagine the shock a man of God would feel in such a proposal as Lot heard? I want you to note three very specific things about these verses. First, Lot's guarding of his guests. It's the duty of a host to guard and to protect those who come under his roof. Note, Lot exposed himself to danger. The text says he closed the door behind him. He there was faced by that evil and angry mob, and he was there by himself. Second, I want you to note that Lot is bold in condemning their plans. He calls them wicked. You and I must not become so accustomed to seeing sin that we fail to identify it boldly. We hear a lot, don't we, about the legislation before our Congress now that has to do with the hate crimes bill. And we are told that speaking out against homosexuality, such as we are doing in this lesson today, will at some point be in our society a crime that might lead to incarceration for those who stand boldly and speak out as God has instructed us. But so be it. We, as followers of God, must not shrink back from standing strong for the truth that God has given to us. Thirdly, we see Lot makes a sinful proposal. Lot is trying to participate in that age-old game that says that we should look for the greater good, that we should look to those things that are good as the end result, and getting there really doesn't matter. But that's not what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, the 3rd chapter and verse 8. I would tell you, my friend, that sin is never a means by which we counter sin. Sin is never authorized, accepted, or approved by God, regardless of the end result that might be, in fact, a good result. No matter the frustration that we feel, we as Christians, we as followers of God, cannot join in sin. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 tells us very clearly that sin separates man from God. Now in verse 9 of our text, we see the Sodomite response to what Lot said there as he faced down that mob. I want you to note, if you would, the similarity to today's responses to the rebuke of sin. First of all, they threatened Lot. They called him an outsider. They used that tactic called rejection in order to try and get Lot to back down. One who really didn't belong in their city, they said. You've felt that as a Christian, haven't you? People that threaten rejection, that call you some kind of a religious nut, that speak of the very framework of our country, rejecting those who speak out for that which God teaches. The main accusation here is the same accusation that you and I hear many times today. They call Lot a judge. That happens to us every day. But I would tell you that Jesus said in John 7 and verse 24 that it's the Christian's duty to judge. Listen to the words. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So then we learn it is the responsibility of a Christian to judge, but do so righteously. The Corinthians were rebuked by God for not judging in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 2 and going through verse 5. Brethren, we need not be deterred from exposing sin by those who call us names. We need to stand even stronger. Finally, verses 10 and 11, we see the angel's actions. It's evident now that the men of Sodom intend to take the angels by force. Their intent is to even break down the door. But the angels save Lot by pulling him back into the safety of the interior of his house, didn't they? And the angels struck the Sodomites blind. Divine punishment indeed. Well, from those verses, what can we learn? Every time we go to the Bible and we read of events in past years, it's good to ask ourselves, what can we learn? How can we make application of these facts and these principles to our life today? If we don't do that, we may become a people who know what the Bible says, but a people that does not live according to its precepts, and that's just not acceptable to God. Critical factor, then, in all Bible study is how does that apply to me? First of all, we can make application in knowing that there's danger in moving toward the direction of sin. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 12, we see that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. But in our lesson in Genesis 19, he was found in the midst of the city. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22 tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Every single time that we try to see where that line is, that magical line between sin and acceptability. And we try to get closer and closer to the line, moving closer and closer to sin. We find ourselves in grave jeopardy. We find ourselves, such as Lot found himself, who moved toward that city and later found himself engulfed therein. You and I should take great aims in our life to stay as far away from sin as we can. Secondly, we learn that we can be faithful when evil is all around us. We are not promised to be in the majority. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "They are surprised that you do not run with them to the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you." The faithful, indeed, is not the majority. Never has been, never will be. We are told in Matthew, the 7th chapter, to stay off of that broad road that leads to destruction and keep attention to the narrow road that leads to life. We are the called out. We who have studied, have learned, and have rendered obedience to the commands of the Lord will be and will continue to be the minority in numbers. A third lesson that we can learn is that the nature of sin is that it gets worse and worse as it runs its course. It does not dissipate. As we apply ourselves to godliness, we become more spiritual, and the opposite is also true. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "But the evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." We see in Sodom the same characteristic as with the Gentiles in the first chapter of the book of Romans. Sin grows. It takes over. Fourth, we might see in our lesson today that God's children are not silent in the face of evil. There are no secret Christians. Lot was troubled day by day, but he wasn't deterred by that peer pressure or threat of rejection. He wasn't deterred by the physical harm that was threatened him. He wasn't deterred by the name-calling and the judging accusations that were made by the men of Sodom. You and I also must not be deterred. We must fight the good fight. A fifth lesson is that sin is not the answer to sin. We can't go along so as not to close doors for future contact. John 8 and verse 28 records the words of Jesus when he said, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For this purpose you have been called, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." The final lesson of our reading today in Genesis 19 is that we learn that God punishes the wicked. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14 reads, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it's evil." Combine that, if you would, with 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, where the Bible reads, "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." Are you looking forward to the day of judgment? It's going to occur. The Bible tells us that every knee will bow before the judge. The Bible identifies the judge as Jesus Christ. Just this past Sunday, one of our elders, one who opened the services, reminded us that Jesus Christ might come this week. Indeed, a sobering warning. As we go about to live our lives, we should understand that the Bible teaches us that life is like a vapor. It's here for a little while and vanishes away. And that should give us ample reason to keep our priorities straight, to, through the mirror of introspection, keep our heart the way that it should be, to speak out against evil regardless of the threats that are made to us from the forces of evil. The devil will not be silent. The devil is not silent today in the subject of homosexuality. It has been a disgrace. It has been a sin in the eyes of God since the very beginning, and that will not change. Well, thank you for listening. I pray that these things have been meaningful to you in your efforts to become a more mature Christian. Again, we invite you to the Monte Vista Church of Christ. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.